The internet has given everyone in America a voice, and evidently everyone in America has chosen to use that voice to bitch about movies.
This is a site populated by militant movie buffs. Sad, pathetic little bastards living in their parents' basement, downloading scripts and what they think is inside information about movies and actors they claim to despise and can't stop discussing.
All right, everyone, welcome to episode 7 of PDF Screenplays Podcast. JC, like normal, here with Adam.
Hello.
Episode 7. So we've spent like the last 30 minutes on the microphones just quoting random crap from cartoons, and we were just doing Ned from South Park. So, and then we started talking about how the creators apparently got a signed photo of Saddam Hussein before he was executed.
Matt and Trey. They're not 100% sure of its authenticity, but some Marines sent it to them. But
they're not sure.
Some Marines sent it to them, and more than one person from Guantanamo told them that they made Saddam watch Bigger, Longer, and Cut over and over and over again.
Which so
they
is
probably
awesome.
They probably forced him to sign something, and then they sent it to Matt and Trey.
Yeah, that's awesome. Saddam's my favorite character in that movie.
It wouldn't
movie.
Be Guantanamo. He never made it to Guantanamo.
Yeah, I didn't think he did
no,
either.
But just wherever he was.
Yeah. Wherever they were holding him.
Yeah.
But he's by far my favorite character in that movie.
I don't know. I like Satan a lot.
Well, Satan's good,
in that
but
episode,
I mean...
So don't take that cool... Oh, yeah, Satan's kind of cool. But anyway.
No, I just... I mean, Saddam sets it all up because of the way they play off each other. I mean, Satan wouldn't be the character without Saddam, but I just love Saddam. And just the way he's the raging sex maniac.
Oh, Saddam.
Yeah. Stop it, Saddam. Come on, guy. Why'd they make Saddam like a Canadian, though?
Like, I don't know. He sounds just like a really bad version of Terrence and Phillip, but just like a really mean version.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Those two guys only have so many voices they can do.
I know.
Unlike Seth MacFarlane. That's his only talent in this world. I mean, you got to admit, he does pretty good voices. Like, his range of voices is pretty good.
He does.
And he is funny every once in a while.
But. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to start hating on Family Guy.
Well, I mean, it's you kind of set up for it. We're talking about South Park, and then you go right into Family Guy like that? I mean...
I was talking about people who have natural voice talent, and Seth MacFarlane does.
I know, and those shows are like natural enemies now because of everything that's
natural
happened.
Enemies.
Well, I mean, South Park created two episodes doing nothing but making fun of Family Guy, which needed to be done. I mean, I'm happy
I
that
agree
they
with
did.
That.
I mean, it, something needed to be said besides just on message boards. About the way Family Guy just does that lame jokes. But, I mean, I'm happy that they did. And I think it's funny that the people on, like, Simpsons and King of the Hill, like, we're all sending them thanks and notes of how great the episodes were just because they're just like South Park and that they don't understand how Family Guy is so popular because of the way it's written.
The jokes are pretty random. They're pretty lazy.
They are.
Remember that time, then cut to...
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's it. That's a Family Guy episode.
They started going back more to plot-based humor a little bit more after that kind of fell out.
I know. It seemed like that they were like, well, now we need to prove ourselves. So that so they tried a little harder. But now whenever I see it, it seems like it's gone right back to that, where it's just totally out of the blue randomness. And sometimes it's funny. I'm not saying it's not, but... A lot of times it's just completely random and it doesn't fit. It seems like in the earlier episodes it fit better. Maybe
because it was used
me.
Sparsely.
Yeah, and I mean
it was used to accentuate the plot as it was just needed as opposed to replacing the plot.
Yeah.
But oh well. You know what's a good cartoon?
What?
The Venture Brothers.
It's great.
That cover art for season 3 is fantastic. The Blu-ray cover art. Well, actually, the DVD
they
cover
both,
art. They're both kind of similar. I mean, the show's great by itself, but I loved it.
Well, that's the thing about A Little Swim, man. They have DVD packaging down to an art. It seems like every...
Quite literally.
I mean, yeah. But it seems like every release they put out is just great packaging. It's always in those slimline digipacks on standard DVD. Venture Brothers is the first Blu-ray to come out from Adult Swim. But
I think Aqua Teen in Blu-rays, you're not really going to get much special. Like the,
well, I don't. Like, I think Venture Brothers is the only show that's produced.
Is that?
It's
is
produced
that why it
in
takes 4 years for an episode of Venture Brothers to be created.
It might be.
When's the next season supposed to come out?
I think it's this fall. But if I, yeah, yeah, I read about it, and they're actually splitting it up because Jackson and Doc can't.
Jackson Pollock and Doc Hammer.
Yeah, Jackson Public.
Public, not Pollock. He was an artist. He's dead now.
Yeah. It's all right. Apparently, they just can't sit down and write episodes. So they're showing 8 this fall, and then I guess there's going to be like another 6-month break or something before the next 8 come out of season 4. So
that's forever.
Yeah. All you Venture Brothers fans, I mean, you're not the only ones who get sick and tired of waiting episodes. We feel it too.
I guess we should talk about a screenplay. I mean, that's why we sit down every week. Yeah. Hook up the microphones.
Which, I only read one this week.
That's so. Okay. I only read one.
Yeah. Which, it was Easter. I mean, I think that's...
Yeah.
Not that we celebrate it, but...
I mean, I ate. Yeah. Did you have ham? I had ham.
I didn't have ham, no.
You didn't?
No.
What'd you have?
In my girlfriend's house, we just had...
Marlboros. No. Marlboros and wild turkey.
that family's not as... I guess they don't smoke as much as all I really need to say. There's only like 3 people on that side that smoke. It's the other side that's... I'm not going to talk bad about them on here. I'll just leave it at... we cooked out for Easter.
Okay, all right.
I think that explains a lot. We cooked out on a grill.
Wow.
Yeah, we had burgers
ham,
and brats.
Like every other American family. Well, good Christian white American family.
Good Christian pink ham.
Yes. What screenplay are we going to talk about? Funny People?
Funny People. Which I guess is
full
good.
Of people who do not celebrate Easter.
Yeah, it works. Fuck Easter.
Yep.
But I think it works because I only read one screenplay, and this one is pretty much long enough to be 2.
So. How many pages was it?
142 pages.
Jesus, I don't remember it being that long. I mean,
well, it reads fast.
Yeah, I mean, it runs to a good clip, but shit.
Yeah, for a comedy, that's insane. And then watching the trailer and seeing how much stuff that's in there that's not in the script, it's, man, if they use everything that was in the script, that's a 4-hour-long comedy.
Well, I mean, not the script, but the trailer is long enough. The trailer is like almost 4 minutes long.
Maybe that's a sign of how long the movie's going to be.
I think Judd Apatow's just been given clearance to do whatever the fuck he wants.
You know what? Normally I would be upset, but I did really like the script, and there's a lot to it, so...
I want to give a little synopsis for those who haven't watched the epic trailer.
Okay. Adam Sandler plays a stand-up comedian, basically himself. Started out in comedy and then went on to be a superstar in movies. And now he's just kind of getting bored, so he's going back to stand-up, and he's lonely. So he's banging the chicks after the comedy shows. And doctor tells him that he has a rare blood disorder, and he's not sure how much longer he's going to live. So Adam Sandler kind of puts his life into perspective, and then the other character involved is played by Seth Rogen, and he's just starting out and stand up, and Adam Sandler sees him and asks him to write jokes for him. So it begins this type of friendship between those two, and then Seth Rogen has his other friends that he lives with, played by Jason Schwartzman and Jonah Hill.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's it. And then Adam Sandler ends up... running into one of his ex-girlfriends, and that kind of starts a little spark thing, which you can see that in the trailer. I mean, yeah. It's not like him.
I don't think that's enough to, we don't give away everything.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, which there's not much to give away that's not in the trailer.
No, actually, that was my one complaint about the trailer, about a lot of trailers, but that one specifically is, it is the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Eric Bana's character looks pretty badass. I think he's pretty
he does,
funny.
Yeah.
I think he's going to pull that off really well.
They made him way funnier than in the script. In the script, he's just...
I thought he was kind of a douche in the script.
But he's like a really nice guy in the script, but he is kind of a douche. But he's really straight-laced,
too. The word for that is tool.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they call him a tool in the script.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the script. It's been a while since I read it, but I really like the way Apatow writes... did you notice a couple of spots where it had alternate jokes?
Yeah, it just...
Where it's alternate lines.
It just said alt, yeah, and then it'd have another line. Which, the only one that I can remember right now, I thought was awful. I was like, why would I even waste time writing that? I can't remember what it was. Oh, it's when Adam Sandler asks if he needs to bring anything to the orphan Thanksgiving. And they say something, and it's funny. And then the alternate is, or just bring grain alcohol.
Adam Sandler's prayer at the orphan Thanksgiving is really, really good.
It is. It's hilarious.
I read that twice.
Yeah, because he thinks the turkey's going to taste like Leo's balls. Sit down and eat Leo's balls.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah. That was one of the few moments in the script where I did laugh out loud. I mean, I didn't really laugh out loud at it. It's this usual Apatow humor where on screen it's going to play out a lot funnier, and it's going to have all the little ad-lib lines and everything, which just from watching the trailer, I'm pretty sure there's only like two lines left from the script in that trailer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can just save $8 and just watch the trailer.
Yeah.
And just act like you watched it. Watch the whole film.
Yeah. I mean, that whole Aussie accent that girl's trying to pull off, that's not in the script.
No, it's not.
They changed a lot of stuff, too, in the script.
Well, with Apatow, I mean, that's just a template. And then when you get there, yeah, it's kind of, you know,
I mean, they
no
changed
rules.
Locations and everything from some stuff.
Oh, yeah, they did. They did.
There's when some scenes about where they're smoking weed and, and in this...
got to make sure to get that PG-13, man.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, I was getting so sick of every Apatow movie being a weed comedy.
Now, this has nothing to do with anything, but Year One, you read that, right?
I haven't read it yet.
Okay, well, I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, content-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But Harold Ramis had to recut it.
I know.
That was bullshit. That is not a rated R script.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I haven't read it.
So I have no idea what he had to cut out. I can't even begin. I hate the MPAA.
I just watched the Letterman interview with Michael Cera where he's talking about how he was in Louisiana filming Year One.
They shot that in Louisiana?
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
That is so fucking random.
Yeah, Shreveport. And he mentioned shooting in Michigan, but he never mentions Youth and Revolt. So
that's definitely Youth and Revolt.
Yeah. That's a pretty funny Letterman interview with him. He's introducing the clip for Nick and Nora. And Letterman asked him to introduce it. He goes, "Have you seen this clip?" Michael Cera goes, "Yeah, well, I've kind of seen the whole movie."
Prick.
Yeah.
Back to funny people.
Yeah.
About the story arc, it's not your typical 90-page, three-act thing.
No.
Maybe in a broader sense it is, but it feels like two distinct stories.
It is.
That are kind of married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, there's... I guess you could say that there's the first act and then a midpoint and then just a third act. There's not much of a second act. But with every Apatow comedy, it's like there's not much of a second act. There's just so much character stuff going on. Just like 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up. I mean, Knocked Up...
See, I felt Knocked Up kind of...
Knocked Up was more...
Path.
It did.
Whereas 40-Year-Old Virgin was more serialized... And where this one feels like two distinct stories.
You know, I don't really see the two distinct. Are you meaning just like before he goes to that girl's house?
Like, yeah, like pretty much.
When he thinks he's Diane, when he's not. Is that?
Like the first story is him getting over the fact that he thought he was going to die, then he finds out he doesn't. And by the time he finds out he's okay, there's still like 60 pages left.
Yeah, he goes.
So the other half of the film is them up at his ex's house, and that is a lot longer than I thought it would be.
Me too. He just kind of kept going.
They spend
with it.
Days there.
Yeah, I know. He just kind of
which kind of drug for me. That was the part that I really didn't like as much, even though it had really good moments.
Yeah,
you really could have made that a third act instead of kind of its own little beast.
Yeah,
and I don't know, but there's some really good lines in there, and I think the relationship between Seth's character and the girl that he and not Leo but his other roommate are fighting about over.
Yeah.
It's kind of underdeveloped.
It is. There's
not enough time for it. I mean, shit.
I mean, it's all Adam Sandler's baby. And in the script, you get the sense that they're going to end up making it work out. But I think it just ends with the last scene between those two that I remember is when he calls her because he's freaking out at the trying to figure out what to do because the husband's like,
yeah.
And that's the last scene I remember.
I guess you're just supposed to assume everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I think this is really Adam Sandler's film.
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, it's not about Seth and that girl's story, but what's the point of having it there if there's not going to be anything that ends up happening with it? That's the way I look at it. I mean, because at the end, it's about Seth and Adam Sandler. It's about Seth Rogen and Adam Sandler. I mean, that's what the movie ends with, is those two.
And from the trailer, they have some really good moments where you can tell they're just kind of riffing back and forth, and
yeah,
they can really do it well.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to see it. I think it's going to end up playing really well.
Other than the fact that I think it is a little too long, but I think that's just a symptom of Apatow giving himself a lot to work with and a lot of options.
Yeah.
So I think he's gotten to the point where he knows he can just write and write and write, and then whatever works the best, he can cut into a two-hour film.
That's my biggest problem with Apatow's movies, is that they're comedies and they're 2 hours long. I think that he doesn't know that he needs to cut a little more. That was my biggest problem with Knocked Up.
I thought it was too long?
Yeah, it was way too long. I mean, it just, for, like we said, it's the most by-the-numbers movie with the straight story.
Oh, Apatow's
films?
I would say so.
And it's just so much long. I mean, there's way too much to it. The other thing about his movies is the montages, man. He uses montages like over and over.
You mentioned that to me when you were reading Funny People. You said there's a lot of montages in it.
They just kind of keep going.
Yeah, well,
I mean, and 40-Year-Old Virgin is the same way. It's, I don't know if it's because he gives himself these stories where the end arc is just like such a, not a stretch, but it's like so far away from the beginning that he feels like he needs them there to get to the story faster. It still takes him so long to get there, even though he's using all these montages. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just, it's weird to read a script that's just chocked full of them like that.
And then there was one last week that it said montage goes here.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that Cabin in the Woods?
No. I think it's Balls Out. Balls Out just says.
Oh, yeah. It just says montage goes here.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Whatever you say.
And then they actually do spell out the one montage with the fucking the melons. That's
a great montage.
Which that's probably because Chris McCrory was writing that segment and not Tim Talbot.
Uh-oh. So. There he is again. The detective of the internet. Okay. As far as Funny People goes, I think it's going to be a good film. It's going to do really well at the box office. It's got too many names, and so it'll be fine.
I think Adam Sandler's the perfect guy for this. I mean, I don't know if you do or not, but I do.
You like him in Punch Drunk Love?
Yeah, I did. I liked him a lot.
Because, I mean, for a while there, it seemed like he was trying to get outside of the Happy Madison Productions world.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of fallen back into, well, what was his last one? That kids movie? Bedtime Stories?
Yeah, which is a Disney. It's not Happy Madison.
No, but I'm saying he was in Happy Madison, and then he kind of did that PTA movie, and now he's kind of back to doing kids movies.
Yeah. And that's surprising. I mean,
because he can act.
He's not the only one, though. Like Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey had his little stretch of indie movies, and now he's back to doing the crap, like Yes Man, and...
And that was crap. I hated Yes Man.
Well, I didn't watch it, but, you know, my shit filter was on that week, so. But, I mean, I guess it's just like Ben Affleck says and Jay and Silent Bob, you know, the safe picture and the money picture. The
yeah, because, you know, Ben Affleck, he's like the poster boy for keeping it real.
Which... what trailer did I see? Extract, that Mike Judge movie. He's in that.
He is?
Yeah, and he's got like long hair and he looks pretty funny. The trailer's actually
pretty
good.
Does that State of Play movie at all look good to you? With Russell Crowe?
I haven't watched the trailer,
Ben Affleck.
I pretty much made a pact to never watch Russell Crowe in a movie again.
What movie did it for you?
Pretty much all of them. I didn't really care for Gladiator. I didn't really like Master and Commander. I mean, it's just...
Master and Commander was forever long.
It's like pretty
a four-hour long movie.
Gladiator's long, too.
Yeah, Gladiator's good, though.
See, I couldn't get into it. But, I mean, it's pretty much all of them.
I don't know. State of Play comes out next weekend. I think it looks decent.
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't watched the trailer or read the script or anything, but...
I don't even know if we have the script or not.
Yeah,
I haven't even looked, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, see,
but I'm not, like I said, I have Russell Crowe, man. He's one of those A-listers that I don't understand.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he can act.
He's okay, but I don't get it, I guess. I don't know. Okay. It seems like every role he's in, I feel like there's someone else that could do it better.
Really?
Yeah.
I would ask you to list examples, and I'm just not really in the mood now.
Good, because I don't want to have to think.
So I saw the leaked Wolverine film.
Did you?
I did not download it. I watched it at a friend's house.
Of course.
And
we don't even have the internet.
No, we don't even have the internet.
We have a guy that edits this for us and then posts it.
We can't download anything illegally because we don't even know
how that
works.
Well, and we have Comcast, so
we're
kind of blocked.
Yeah, we don't even know how that stuff works. Yeah. But I did watch it at a friend's house, and it's a mess.
Really?
It's a fucking mess, that whole film.
Well, apparently it was before the reshoots. Well,
there's gonna have to be some massive reshoots for that film to kind of even be a cohesive story.
Maybe there is. I mean, well, the people that read the original script, too, said that it was like they just threw characters in just to get them in.
It seemed like it was a competition to see who could bring in this character from this book and try to work it in to the story somehow. And it just
that was my biggest problem with X-Men 3 is when that guy directed, it seemed like he was just throwing
that guy directed
game.
That guy.
Who the fuck's that guy?
Brett Ratner. I fucking hate Brett Ratner.
Man, there's a theme for an episode.
Oh man.
Mother effing Ratner.
Brett fucking Ratner. Ugh. Yeah, X-Men 3 was bad. And I don't know. Yeah, this is worse. This is worse than X-Men 3.
Really?
Yep.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you haven't seen the final version. So,
no, I can't make a judgment.
But
I don't know. But
the
I will not be going to the theater and seeing it.
Oh, man. That's not what Warner Brothers wants to hear.
I was going
to
go anyway.
I wasn't either. Which I didn't watch the leaked version, but I had no intentions of going to see that movie. I'm so sick of comic book movies. They are just shit. I mean, and I know Dark Knight came out last year and set all the records, and it was brilliant marketing, and I cannot right now turn it on and sit through it.
The Dark Knight?
I cannot.
Why?
It's too long. I get bored as shit trying to watch that movie again.
Really?
Yeah.
I could watch it right now.
No. Same with, I mean, Batman Begins the same way. I think it's too long and I get bored.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember the last comic book movie that I like watched and could probably still watch again, but I really can't think of any. I mean, recent comic book movies that I've enjoyed. I hated all the Spider-Man ones.
X-Men 2 was pretty good.
X-Men 2 was good, but I mean, that's not even recent. I mean,
been a few years. I don't think I saw the first Hulk, but I did not see the second.
I watched it. It was okay. Still not that good.
I mean, if you're a comic book fan and you're really a Wolverine fan, which I kind of am, I like Wolverine, but man, that just... I just couldn't get into it because it was just all over the place.
Yeah.
So.
Just a mess of a movie.
There's other movies coming out this summer to blow your money on.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Funny People.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to do well. And I give the script an 8.
I give it a 7.
A 7?
Yeah. Easy to read. I like that. Anytime I can just sit down in one sitting and read a script. Especially it's 140 pages. I mean, I blew through it.
That's probably one of the longest scripts you've ever read.
It's that and Inglourious, which I mean right now are then those two and Balls Out are probably my favorite ones we've done on the podcast. So
really?
Yeah. Which I don't think anyone requested this. I think it was just one that I wanted to do because of the trailer.
They kept on requesting Roundtable and we keep on saying we're going to read it.
Well, that's going to be next week.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I swear to God. I don't really think these. I've sweared to God on numerous things that are impossible for me to make happen. And Roundtable, something that I can make happen.
So better read that shit.
Yeah.
Now, come next Monday, you might be moving.
I might be. I mean, which I think, I don't know. It seems like we need a break anyway. These things. I mean, we sat here for like an hour and a half just playing with our microphones.
Is that a metaphor?
I'm not even going to say what was on TV while we were playing with our microphones.
Yeah, remind me to wash my screen.
Master Blaster.
Oh, but man. I mean, speaking of the Road Warrior, Mel Gibson's getting a divorce.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
after 20 years or so.
Obviously, he did not know what women want.
Oh, my God.
I have to take it. It was right out there. Don't do stupid ass movies if you don't want to come back and bite you in the ass.
Somewhere Holland Hunt's dialing a phone. Are you okay, Mel?
Wow, Wow, Helen Hunt.
Yeah, she fell off the face of the earth, didn't she?
Yeah, talk about it. She was good in that James L. Brooks movie. As good as it gets.
As good as it gets.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a great film.
I think so too. I mean, that movie's good on pretty much every level.
Oh yeah,
but James L. Brooks, one of those guys, man. It seems like he can write and direct, and it just all comes together. Spanglish is the same way. Spanglish is a great movie.
Hey, there's an Adam Sandler film where he tries to break out of the...
Yeah, I knew there was another
one. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't like Taya Leone. She annoys the piss out of me.
Yeah.
But she does great as the person who's supposed to annoy the piss out of me in that film.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a great movie. You know, I love Wes Anderson, and he was, like, one of the main people that got Bottle Rocket.
Like, yeah, he saw that, and he's like, we're going to get this made.
Yeah, and, he produced it. He would sit and pitch them ideas every day for the script. And I mean, Wes and Owen both said that he is just like chock full of ideas, and he just throws them and throws them. And I mean, that's...
Now, is he the reason James Caan came aboard?
I think so. I think they needed a name person, and I'm pretty sure that, yeah, he called James Caan or whatever, called his agent, and ended up getting him into the movie. He seems like he's just one of those film guys who just is always on.
You just need him in a room. Just be like, give me something.
Yeah, and he would do it.
He's an actually funny guy. Now, he's an executive producer on The Simpsons, isn't he?
I think he is. I'm pretty sure he is. I mean, I'm sure that's where he's gotten all the money to actually, you know, do his own movies and everything.
Oh, well, he's been doing movies forever.
Yeah, but, you know, having an animated show, producing an animated show for 20 years definitely helps.
Yes. Whew. Well, I think we're only going to do one script today.
I think so. I think we're good.
Are we good?
I mean, we're...
Now, Observe and Report,
yeah,
did not make a lot of money this week.
I'm kind of upset about it.
You knew that wasn't going to happen, because you can tell that it wasn't a typical Seth Rogen film from the trailers. Even the hardest they tried to cut it together to make it as not dark and make it as funny as possible, you knew that's what it was.
I know.
And I want to see it, because I know that's what it's going to be like, but...
Yeah.
But don't worry. The Hannah Montana movie was number one at the box office.
You knew that was going to happen.
I knew it. I mean, Easter weekend.
Yeah.
It was going to be Hannah Montana.
It's going to be family week. I mean, kids are going to be getting their Easter eggs.
Did you get anything for Easter?
I got a hollow milk chocolate bunny from my girlfriend's parents. And my mom gave me a bag of candy, and it had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle eggs with candy inside them.
This was the first year I did not get any candy.
Really?
Yeah. I expected it. I went over to the place to see the fam, and I just kind of sat there before the meal thinking it was coming. And then after the meal, I thought, well, I'll hang out for a little bit and I'll get my candy. Nothing.
So you went to the convenience store and bought yourself some, didn't you?
I did.
Because I remember you saying...
I was like, okay, I'll see you guys later. Have a good Easter. And then I went to the convenience store and bought a Zag Nut.
Yeah.
How sad is that?
You should have thrown hints. Like,
I could really go for some chocolate now.
Yeah.
So I'm 1 year older than you. So next year,
you're not
getting anything.
My mom told me she wasn't going to give me anything, but my sister surprised her and flew in for Easter. So then it was like, oh, Easter baskets.
Oh, okay. So you got saved by your sister.
My little sister who's more mature than me.
Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
So prepare yourself. Next year, the year without chocolate, unless you buy it for yourself.
Yeah, well, I always do, so.
That was nowhere near screenplays. I don't give a shit.
Nah, doesn't matter. So, personal life stories.
Hey, in a couple weeks, everyone, the Nichols Fellowship is about to be up.
I guess we better get busy.
Yeah, we better. We better start writing.
Which, from what I've been reading, we kind of, if you guys out there haven't submitted yours yet, you kind of miss, like, the perfect time to enter it. Because they usually start in March, and then the deadline's, of course, May 1st. So they say usually early April, late March is the best time, because it's kind of when people are slowed down from the initial flock of people submitting. And then at the end of April, 1st of May, everyone's trying to get them in last minute. So they say if you get them in like 1st of April, it's usually slow and people can really just sit and savor your script. And we already missed that. So
whoops. Yeah. Did not know that.
Yeah, I told you that.
Yeah, well, I may have been drunk at the time.
Yeah, well, let's end this and have a few beers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to make me write. I can do that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Hopefully next week we'll have two screenplays. One may or may not be roundtable, depending on his level of swearing to God.
Yep.
The other one, I don't know, suggest it. You have till Friday to suggest it.
Yeah, our deadline's Friday.
Our deadline's Friday. But try to get on Thursday, because we'll be slowed down by Thursday. Yeah. And then that'll be the sweet spot to suggest.
Everything's got a sweet spot now.
So, all right, listen to us on iTunes.
Podcast at pdfscreenplays.com.
Yes.
And there's a shout box at pdfscreenplays.com.
Don't say the word vagina and that's it, because there's no screenplay just called that. So
yeah.
Yeah. I'll delete it every time.
So sorry.
Okay.
Tim.
All right, everybody. Have a good post-Easter week.
So what is the Robotard 8000?
Stand up.
No, seriously. What are you?
We are what happens when some of the most writers combine human technology to form the greatest sentient being ever created in the history of Bytia.
Okay. So what made you embark on this endeavor?
What are you talking about?
What made you write this screenplay?
Scott Frankson, you know, seems like Kaplan and Brandler, like, taking all the jobs that we wanted and all the cash money and like, you know, something had to be done. Matters had to be taken into our own hands.
And what do you hope to achieve by
cash money?
Beyond the obvious financial gain, is there anything else you would hope to achieve with the screenplay?
We thought it was time someone reset the clock. As it stands, young writers come into this thing of ours with watered-down ideas based on watered-down ideas which were first distilled from crap. And at some point, for the sake of everyone from filmmakers to the bean counters to the stupid fucking audience, the clock demanded to be reset. Because ultimately, the art of film is a precious and beautiful thing, and if it isn't, it makes it very difficult for us to make that cash money.
Are there any screenwriters working today that inspire you?
Yep.
And would you care to elaborate?
Chicks can't write good.
Yeah, but do any other writers inspire you?
You know, all the guys out there today making that cash money.
I see. Are there any particular films that have influenced the creation of Balls Out?
If we were to answer in terms of the most direct influence upon our creative milieu, it would have to be the post-war neo-expressionistic masterworks of Peter Otto, Hefty Crater, Romeo Void, Turtley, and Michael Pafford, Unctuous Nut, Kitty's Tooth Decay, and Daddy, Stop. But we would be remiss if we didn't mention Michael A. Ross's groundbreaking voiceover work in that Chinese movie The Return of the Dragon. http://www.youtube.com/watch?v=OSL5P0TNV80
This is exasperating.
How so?
It doesn't feel as if you're taking any of these questions seriously.
Vagina.
What?
Cash money.
Unfortunately, after we conducted the interview with the Robotard, the computer that we had everything stored on crashed, and we later found out that going through some of the leftover hard drive files that we were infected by the Robotard, in fact. So we quickly grabbed what we could of the interview. Unfortunately, this is all we have left, and it's just a few questions, so sorry it's so short, but maybe sometime in the future we'll be able to find the rest of the interview, or maybe get the Robotard to join us again for a little longer interview. So, sorry, and thanks for listening.